now looking at what is our understanding and approach with regards to the work that we've been doing in relation to the stakeholder engagement as well as the engagement to understand the situation, environment, and other related matters within the entities of the department. And I think we all agree on one issue, that we are much more informed with the extent of work that we have done so far. So I know by now we'll be receiving the report on the state of finances as far as the public sector is concerned, and what is due to who, and what is taken from who, and all those kinds of issues. And I'm sure we will come to again our different areas of conclusion, but also our different understanding of what is happening. But quite clearly, we might be still far from what some of us believe is supposed to be a concerted approach, which is about ensuring that we build the productive and the investment sectors of our economy, so that we can be able to account and address the social services related issues. But also, having said so, again, having received the presentation yesterday from the department around the issue of the IRP, we saw the Minister of Public Enterprises outlining also processes with regards to the current state of affairs at ESCOM and the roadmap towards stabilization of that entity. So hopefully there will be an interlinkage of what will be happening there and where the policy and the legislative responsibility lies. But also, having said so, I'm not moving a motion like the ones that I thought one day they will even divide political parties themselves. This one, I'm sure it will unite all of us, that we know this weekend that the pride of the nation will be playing in the finals of the Rugby World Cup, and hopefully when we come back again and late, we'll be all with smiles. The reason I'm saying there are other things, I've noticed sometimes some of the motions or statements that are made in the House, they will talk about a certain soccer team, highly divided by that. And I was saying at some point when such motions are moved, it may come from the same party. No objection to that motion may come from the same party because of the non-agreement. But having said so, honourable members, I must also, from where I sit, appreciate the fact that this was not an easy exercise. The road that we have travelled so far in relation to information collection, but also capacity, to some degree also an element of capacity building, it may not have been easy or we may not have understood. But I think, as I said initially, it has made us much more better people to understand what is the current stage and what are the challenges ahead, having had the information that we have at our disposal. And having said so, we have tried our level best to do what we think it was necessary for the committee. As we have been engaging, obviously there will be changes and other matters, so you will bear with us. I'm told preferable to assist members who might have to use more papers today than we have been doing before. So you will bear with us. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, members and the guests. I've got a question from Mr. Zumwona and Mr. Nima.
Okay. Having said so, honorable members, we are dealing with the report starting from our first meeting. After the annual performance plans and the budget, the first meeting was a stakeholder engagement. And the first day was with the meeting with the union, and then the second day was meeting with the organized employers. So that is for the 20 and 21 August, and then if when you are done with that, you will then go to the one with the visits that we undertook, that is leave that is written oversight. It was part of oversight. 26 to 30 August 2019. You will recall then that some of the other activities were as a result or an outcome of those visits, which means we will deal with some of them when we deal with minutes, because they don't necessarily reflect what was presented. It's not that we would have subsequently requested some of the entities to give more information, or would have requested some of the entities that we want to extend time. So, like we would relate to SEF and NEXA, which I think are the two that were the WDP, because of the agency of the matters that were raised. So we will deal with some of the issues as they reflect on the minutes instead of reflecting on the report per se. But having said so, honourable members, We hope that members at least have a bit of an opportunity to look at the report. So if we use the manual, can members, based on what they have seen, take up to page 23 of the first verse. That is where it says draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy on the stakeholder engagement with stakeholders held in Parliament on 20 and 21st August 2019. Can members take us, is there any matter from there? Is that the body of the body, a reflection on the body of the presentation? It has got nothing to, maybe there might be things that we wrote by error that may not necessarily reflect what was said, as an example. Or there could be grammar, or there could be a mixing of information from whom, or when it was said by someone else, and we put it in the book, it was said by someone. It's just a reflection of the thing. We will come to the observations and recommendations, which starts on page 23. I assume when we are all quiet. Okay. Page 23 up to page 24, page 23:15, yes, up to just above, which is the observation.
It's quite petty, but the second last bullet point, it shouldn't have a question mark at the end, just give it a stop.
Oh, that one, the usual thing. Okay. Both of them?
No, just the second one, I think. Well, maybe both of them, yeah. Both
the members of the vision.
Yeah,
I would ask on them.
Yeah, both of them.
Okay.
Now we take note, that's why I said it's not pity, because it may change the meaning of the sentence. You observe by a question. Okay. I said, welcome, Honorable Marwan. At this Babum Tensha, I mean, Honorable Phillips, you are here when we started. One issue we were not sure of, I think let me say it, was whether when you make observations, you make observations as a committee and observations that owns up what would have been raised, or you make observations in some areas of what is the thought or the views amongst the stakeholders. And then what do you do? Do you recommend according to, or do you recommend an approach to attend to what would have been? We're raising this thing because some people might feel when you come and present, you are not taken serious because what you would have raised is not captured on the report. So when some of the things, honourable members, they come through, I think you're correct to put it. I wanted to say that we didn't put together in our thoughts, and also say that I read this on the finding line. It doesn't have this thing. No, it doesn't mind. Wait, he's hidden. I'm saying, honorable members, can't we add where it says there is a need to facilitate the conclusion of the mining charter processes so as to protect the interest of workers and local communities? In order to create economic or financial stability, whatever it is. Because that is actually the main purpose. The sooner those issues are resolved, then we create certainty and stability. For even if it says in local, also for economic stability. For certainty and economic stability. I'm asking, so I'm not, that's why there's a question. I'm not sure which point you are.
It's a bullet point from below 1, 2, 3, 4 on 23. We also put where it says the community to create certainty and economic stability. Because we can only do so when those issues have been dealt with for. Okay. But also I think because there is a E2 for a balance on the bullet that follows that one, where you lose your addition. Where it says the right to refuse dangerous work by employees is not being exercised fully. Instead, I think we should say should be exercised fully, but in a responsible manner. Although it's not, it's an awful.
So just a concern on that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're employed as a, I don't know, explosives expert in a mine, okay? And it's a dangerous, you're employed in a dangerous occupation. And you say, I don't want to work because it's dangerous. I agree with what your caveat in a responsible manner, because I think that kind of addresses that. But I mean, if you've been employed in a dangerous occupation, you're obviously being remunerated and paid according to the danger level that you're exposing yourself to. I don't know that I'm just grappling with the concept here of being able to say I'm not going there to blow that up because I think it's dangerous, even though it's your job. What you signed on for.
There is no job that some person is employed when it is dangerous. It can be a risk area. For an example, even your mine rescue practitioners, those ones who go underground, they can only do so when it is safe to do so. For an example, in Lily Mine, as an example again, then there would have been no explanation why, if their job is to rescue people, they would come and say, no, we can't because it is dangerous to do so. So that's why there is a risk assessment. It's more or less the same thing. You may work underground as a, what do you call this thing, those who know. The person who measures maybe the level of methane and other things below. But if it is dangerous to measure that, then that person has got a right in law. That's why you put both of them, because you do it according to what then is prescribed to be dangerous.
Okay.
Yes. Honorable Mashaw.
Thanks, sir. I'm happy that Honorable Mayor agrees with your point, because I was going to remind him that just yesterday, I'm not sure whether it was member statement or motions, without motions, the Democratic Alliance made a statement that thanks to our pilots at SAA, that they refused to school and work in an unsafe environment. That's why the planes were
grounded. Chair, on a point of order, we're politicking now, and this isn't about politics.
Yeah, so that exposes the fact that you can be employed to work and remunerated for, but if you see danger and risk where you are employed, you can say, I am not going there, because you're not employed to be exposed to dangerous areas. That's why, like you're saying, Chair, there should be risk assessment wherever everybody works. The last point I want to make, Chair, is that we are not administrators here, we are politicians. And we can't be immune to talking politics.
Okay.
We can't. That is why when statements are made, we record them so that we hold you responsible for your actions and what you have said. So if you have said something yesterday, and today you want to say something contrary to that, and we remind you, that's politics, that's what we are here for. Thanks.
You see, today, don't worry. Today is exactly what you are supposed to have been doing, say to people, look, let's be together. But let me help. The difference is that, which is what I was clarifying, is that Honorable Mylan says, if a person is employed to do dangerous work, but I don't want to speak for the DA, we can have that discussion, it's okay. But what is saying, no, to do maintenance, it may not be the same to be a pilot of a flight. That's why I said dangerous work could mean, brutally and frankly, a soldier who is employed to be prepared to go to war and must accept that he's got the potential to kill or to be killed. Now, the point I was saying was that you will still have mechanisms there, whether by a captain or whoever would know the ranks of the army, who would then have to make a call of assessment and will then be fully accountable and liable in the event he would have taken the army to an ambush when he would have or should have known that there is an ambush that would come. So the point I was saying was that not a single person I know would be employed to do dangerous work. But he may work in a risk environment of which from time to time there will be that assessment of it. But the point for me, I wanted you to help me with the sentence here. But remember, that's why I said, I'm asking this sentence because I'm of the view, if you raise a matter on observation, you should then be able to talk to the recommendation. So in my view, I'm saying the problem here is the right to refuse dangerous work by employees is not being exercised fully. Now, let me say why I'm putting it. I'm trying to get the science because the only person who exercises that right is the person who sees the risk. That's how the law is couched. But there has to be measure. Now, it says the right to refuse dangerous work by employees. It's like employees don't exercise that right. That's the point I was trying to say. Is really an observation that they don't exercise that right, or is not, by our own observation, that right is not being complied with in a responsible manner. That's the observation. It's not being complied with in a responsible manner, which means it caters both. But where it is here, I think even myself, I'm just reading now to say, if I were an employee, a worker, it might be saying me, I don't exercise that right fully. And it will go back again to what becomes the dispute in the workplace,
to say, in as much as I'm allowed to exercise that right, I must do it in a responsible manner at the same time. So that's why I was saying, shouldn't we take this thing, is that the right to refuse data that's worked by employees is not being complied with in a response, in a, not being complied with fully in a responsible manner, which then caters for both. That you can't just say, no, no, I'm not going there, even because you, if I, what I know, that law does not make a personal determination that you can say. It says, with those who are supposed to be your supervisors, you have to get that conclusion, which is why in most cases, the complaint has been one that even when it is dangerous, they are forced, because somebody with supervisor authority says go, even when the person says it's dangerous. That makes...
Chair, if the politics of what I was saying was ignored, and you take the point, it's exactly what I was saying, that what you are saying is, somebody in a workplace see a risk, and I'm going to go to the pilots again, see a risk that these planes are not safe. Because there are mechanisms by AXA to audit that, they have exercised their right to say, we are not doing dangerous work. And this directly speaks to the point that you are raising. And the way you are phrasing it, I fully agree with it. What I disagreed with is the skepticism that Mr. Milam had. That's
sorry,
why
Chair,
I
on a point of order.
That's
I,
why
I asked a question, Chair. I asked a question.
He's
imputing... Sorry, Chair, on a point of order. Thank you, Chair.
Can I check the order?
He's imputing motive to me that is unnecessary. All I did was ask a question. That is not a motive. And I find it offensive that the Honourable Member thinks that I have a particular motive in asking that question. I ask a question for clarity purposes. I ask a question to determine what is right for this report. To say that I have skepticism or something like that is imputing a motive that he has no idea why I'm doing something, but he's imputing a motive to me, and that is against the rules of Parliament, and I would ask that he immediately withdraw that.
Wait. When you make it, when you, this is the point again, whether to chair what one thinks of the other or to chair what we are dealing with in the report, I wouldn't want to, if it is about a dispute of what the one understands of the other feels that the matter is being raised, is questioned, or is, I don't know, I wanted to find a better word. But my plea, can we be focused on the report? Can we be focused on the report? And then I will allow the platform to deal with some of the issues.
Chair, with all due respect, we listen carefully when people speak here. When you speak and say, I'm just skeptical of...
I didn't say that, Chair. Chair, I'm asking you for a ruling,
Chair,
that he withdraws the statement that I was skeptical. He hasn't made a ruling.
No.
I'm asking for a ruling that he withdraws the statement that it was skepticism that motivated my question. He's imputing a motive, and that's unparliamentary.
Honourable.
I accepted your ruling, your recommendation. He's now belabouring the point. I accepted what you suggested as an outcome. He's belabouring the point and imputing a motive to me. That is unparliamentary in terms of the rules of Parliament. And I ask you, Chair, to make him withdraw.
Can I explain? Because you see the problem. We can sit here and discuss with one another or anything. The statement again, I want, that's why I had to explain to Honorable that later. The statement came and said, yesterday, in the motion in the House, there was a motion like this, he articulated. And he said, today, I'm surprised when there is something like this. I tried to explain the difference in my understanding between the two. But we shouldn't move as if that statement we don't know originally where it comes from. That is the point. That's why I said, can we speak to what is contained here? I may request not to rule on a political statement. But if Honorable Mylam feels that is imputing something on him, again I will say what I always say. What I will say only to members is that sometimes the lack of focus on what we are dealing with is the one that is going to take us out. Because in my view, the issue was, how do we put this sentence? Can you stick to that this is what we put into this sentence? And if we agree, can you stick to what we agree on? Please, honorable members. Honorable members.
No, thanks, Chair. I agree with your rephrasing of the sentence as you proposed. Just because I'm on the podium, Chair, can I invite you to look at the last bullet point as well?
Yeah.
I think when you say illegal mining is still pervasive in the industry, threatening operational staff and employees as well, the environmental sustainability, there's something wrong there that needs to be corrected. It's either an off must be put, of unused mines, not sustainability, unused mines. That would be incorrect.
Nothing happens. We can't sustain it unused. Correct. It's an unused mine. It can't be. Why would you?
You are sustaining the point, sorry, Chair. I think the point is saying as well as the environmental sustainability of unused money. So sustainability, I assume, is of the environment.
That's what I'm prepared to accept for an assistance for me for some English classes. I'm not sure how unused mine can be environmental sustainable. That was the issue. But
Maybe, Chair.
That's right, honorable members, we want your assistance. Let me say, when we write these things, they go out, somebody gives another interpretation than us. Now, my main fear is that somebody who is not us goes out and say an environmental sustainable unused mine. Now, this committee is looking at environmentally sustainable unused mines. That is why I'm saying, help me with English. Whether is it really, really, Honorable Phillips, you wanted to help?
Yeah, but when I thought about it, it didn't really make sense.
Honourable Madam.
Yeah, Chair, I agree with, I agree that there should be an of in that sentence, because the way that it's, the illegal mining is threatening the environmental sustainability of unused mines. So when they, when those illegal miners are there and whatever they're doing in those mines, it then makes it environmentally unsustainable. It's threatening the environmental sustainability. So an of would sort that, that out easily.
Without honourable my name are taking me through. Okay. So we say off. Okay. Now, okay. You will remember, you will understand what I was saying, Honourable Member, that some of the things that were presented were not presented by us. One thing that I was trying to check with you. I think there were two issues that were raised, which I, they may not necessarily be positions, but members must help me. One of those was the, which is the current, which was raised again by the Minerals Council, the issue of the, what do you call, one compensation that is currently underway, that they were saying they are working on. One compensation system, the COIDA, OTIMWANE, and COOD. I think we must, it, because that's what they've raised, that from a committee's point of view, we also note the process underway towards the one environmental system. Something to that effect. And then we can make a recommendation on the other side, not from where we are, but to recommend that that process, where possible, be also considered if it's going to provide an effective system of compensation. What do you call it? I don't want to say danger or whatever, but you remember those systems, the way that they were talking about, is that you don't have one. If you have got this type of injury, you go this side, but also if you are in the mining sector for a particular injury or disease, this is where you go. But we, if members agree, we may consider that. There was one also that was raised, I think about two or three, mainly from the unions, the issue of the state of Petro SA. I think there was a some of them were even proposed, and I'm not saying we should agree, but if we ignore, we must then be able to say why we feel that it was not raised. It may not be a, for an agreement for, from us. That of Petro SA being designated as a, what is it, a state-owned oil and gas, no? Yes. I'm saying we may find a wedding, and yeah. But well,
thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair. In the, well, with the issue of English, yeah, we don't necessarily need to blame ourselves, it's not our language. Because those English people, I believe, they don't even also know our languages. Now, I don't necessarily want to go back to what happened earlier on, otherwise we need to move on. But now, on the same page, page 23, bullet point the same one, bullet point number three. As you read it and going along, intolerance and violence in host communities and the health and safety of workers still need to a special attention. I don't think the two is needed there.
Still no, need that to be prioritized. In fact, we said, even if you read it, says in host communities as well as the health and safety of workers, it needs to be prioritized. Okay. Can we go on recommendations? We're saying there was a view, not us who are criticizing, but when we look at in your observation that there is a view or a demand for Petro SA be declared as a state designated oil oil and gas company. Now that is what was said, not us. Observe that is what was said. We only deal with it again. What do you recommend? Honorable Mashaul.
Chair, it should feature in recommendations if it's not there, because in observations, because it was there, but also on recommendations, because I remember there was no major difference on the view, it should find its way in the recommendation as well.
Honorable Maila, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Honorable Maila.
Chair, just a couple of things. First of all, I do differ on that opinion that Petro SA should be a state or a national oil and gas company, which I think was the terminology that was utilized. In fact, they refer to themselves anyway in their presentations as the national oil and gas company, so I don't know what any further designation is going to accomplish, but anyway. So I do object to that. On the recommendations, the...
Right, let's deal with this one, sir.
Okay.
The point is not as whether we agree or not. The point is that we observe from what was presented to us. Whether we like it or not, it was expressed in the same way as May was given, that it was expressed that there is a preference of Petro SA being a state-owned oil and gas company. That is why I said we must draw a distinction between what we observe ourselves and in agreement or not with it. Leaving, wait. Two, when we recommend, let me say again, when we recommend, we may say we recommend that the turnaround strategy of Petro is of SAF should also consider all other options, including the notion of a state owned, doesn't mean we agree with it. That's why I was saying we must draw the distinction between what we recommend from our side. But when I come and say, except if you want now to go back and have a discussion, because for me, let me be upfront, I don't see this recommendation to be an agreement about what was presented. I see it as to what these issues that are coming out of those submissions. So I was avoiding that discussion, but if we want to enter it, we can enter it now. I can give you an example. When it comes to the visits to the entities and what would have been presented,
That's when then we can agree or disagree, because there we'll be making our own observations on what we have gone to see. Then it means that we are coming with what is ours to say, no, Petro SA, if we go to serve, Petro SA should be oil and designated oil and gas company. That's what we say. We can then start to disagree there. But what I was saying is that my only concern is when you take people, they come and present to you, when you make your observations, you don't take into cognizance what they would have raised for you for future references when you interact with them. So the recommendations and the, what is this thing, mainly are a reflection of the views of those that we invited to make presentations. Unlike when you go to the entities. I will have a problem, but if members say we can put it here, but I'm not sure how we'll put it then to say we agree and we don't agree with that observation. But the fact of the matter is what was stated. Honorable...
No, thanks, Chair. I think you summarized it well, that we have made observations of the presentations that were made by different people. And this point that we are discussing came out strong. That's why it must be part of our observation. But when we go to recommendations, Chair, the first sentence says, the portfolio committee, having had the presentation, recommends the following. Now, it means also that point must find its way to recommendation in a manner in which you tried to summarize it, that when the SERF group deals with its turnaround strategy, they should make cognizance of the fact that a point has been made that Petro SA should be designated an oil and gas company of South Africa. Thanks.
Okay, we will go to recommendation. It will be something similar to that. Okay. Having said so, Honorable, is there any contract?
Sorry, I don't want to contradict, I don't want to be difficult on this, but on the one hand, we had Sepwawu.
Yeah.
They were the ones who said Petro SA must be designated as the national oil and gas company. They were the ones that pushed that hard. And they said, and I quote, the country must have full control of the entire value chain in the sector to ensure security of supply. So basically, they want total ownership of the entire petroleum sector. That was one stakeholder, right? Then, if you go to SOPOA, that's not SOPOA, SOOGA, on page 23, it says, let me just find it. There was a need for legislation that would facilitate the development of a robust oil and gas industry. Now that's a very different approach to what SEPOL. So you've got contradictory presentations. The one says that government must have total control of the sector, and then SOOGA says there must be a robust oil and gas industry. So I would be very cautious to accord one more weight than the other. There are differing opinions here. And I'm not saying that one is right and one is wrong. I'm saying that we can't say, oh, we're only going to go with SOOGA or we're only going to go with SEPWAWU. There are different opinions. And I think that leads into how we frame our observation. So I would ask that you give us the wording of what that observation should be so that we can agree on it.
No, it's not a stress. When we deal with those issues, I will tell you what would have been But let me tell you, in that case, we can still say it on the observation that we observe that there is a view for a view that Petrol SA be designated as a state, as an oil and gas state-owned mining company with a second one. We'll put it to even including that one. So that when the SAF does a turnaround strategy, it attends on the two. So we'll put it on one. No, we say that we observe on the observation that there are two views of Petrol SA as a state-owned oil and gas designed a designated company, and the one on what is the word you use?
A robust oil and gas industry.
That's right. But we can still argue, but that's why I said we leave it. When we deal with it ourselves, you may say it's different, I may say it's not. I can tell you, you can say it's not. Because a robust is when my view, I see it, there is full and total control of the state. Not a multiple. But it's okay. That's why I said we'll cater for that. It's okay. I don't think it's a transmesh.
Okay. Honorable members? Can we go to
recommendations? Babu Mashaule?
Sir, we have been in recommendations. The problem is that I always take it from observations, and you keep us, you keep taking us back to observations, but I was on recommendations two times on this point, exactly. And I still want to reiterate my point that that point that is in the observations must make its way into the recommendations. And in the manner that you have summarized it, that the SAF group must start in its turnaround strategy to look at designating Petrol SA as an oil and gas company. Whether it's robust, whether it's designation, is the same. We are saying the center of what the state identifies itself as an oil and gas participation or a participator is Petrol SA. Now it must find its way into the recommendations, Chair. Thanks.
I don't know, I'm waiting for us to agree or disagree.
Waiting for you to deal with the combination.
I agree with the Honourable Matawe.
Two, three, four. and say DMR should engage further with stakeholders, in particular the Minerals Council of South Africa, on the disputed aspects of the mining industry and ensure that there is a amicable solution. So that we don't seem to be going with one party.
With all due respect, Chairperson, can we first finish with the point that is not in the bullet point? We insert it and then we deal with
that
point. Yeah, it was not clear from yourself whether you want us to step off that point or you're still consulting something there. It was not clear. If it's in, we are fine. We can proceed to the point that you are coming with.
You want me to ask for an objection? You believe it's not there?
No, Chair. I was just saying, the way you paused, there was a confusion as to whether you want other members to express themselves or to insert, you agree to the insertion or what. We were just confused there.
Why
do
you confuse
me? No, because the Chair just went paralyzed.
You are paralyzed?
No, I said you just went paralyzed. It's like you were confused yourself also.
I thought the sentence was clear, that we recommend that CREDSAF group, in particular when it deals with the turnaround strategy, considers the status of Petro SA, including as a designated oil and gas company. That's it.
We were waiting for that.
But they consider, it's not about the decision, consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that.
You want to take me on an English class time? Now I must go back to that one. Yeah, I'm saying, we say on the try to agree to take out this question or no one. Now we say where it says the Minerals Council and DMR, we say DMRE should engage further with all the stakeholders, in particular the Minerals Council of South Africa, on the disputed aspects of the mining charter tree, and ensure that there is an amicable solution. So that we don't sound like we are going for one. Because those negotiations, the danger that in those negotiations, even if they try to find, they may resolve and resuscitate others to say, we don't agree what you have agreed with between the two of you. I wanted to suggest on the issue of I think it's Minerals Council, on the recommendation that although we it's not us again, it's them that are doing it, that the process going towards a one compensation system, do we support it or what?
Yeah. I think it depends on the profitability of different sectors of the mining sector. It might be that, for argument's sake, platinum is at a high, they can afford to pay larger increases, while gold is at a low. I'm just using those two as examples. Or diamonds might be at a low. And so to say we have one compensation system for the entire sector then becomes problematic. I think that we should allow the space for the business sector and the unions to do what they need to do to negotiate, because that's their job. We shouldn't be sitting here and saying, well, everybody must get paid the same. I mean, that I think is irresponsible.
Now, let me explain. The compensation system is not saying being paid the same. It's a reconciliation of three different legislations that separate the payments on different areas, whether disability and so forth.
Mm.
They are already there. They are on it. It's not that it's something that is new. Maybe what we could say is that we recommend that the parties should try finalize the process towards one compensation system. Well, that's what, it's not us. They are working on one compensation system. That's what they are working on.
Sorry, Chair, I'm misunderstanding completely, because I thought this related to the issue that centralized bargaining was going
on.
Okay. So
read page 19. Minerals Council was addressing the legacies of mining by engaging with compensation for occupational injuries and diseases that COIDA and Occupational Disease in Mine and Works Act, that's ODIMWA, the acts which ensures payouts for mining-related diseases. It co-governs with the Department of Health on the Medical Bureau for Occupational Diseases, that is the FUD compensation.
Sorry, Chair, I misunderstood completely.
So it's not something that we are involved or it's there, they are working towards that one. Not a central bargaining. So we say in the process they must move towards finalization of the process of a one compensation system. That's all. They are doing it. Honorable Malin and Honorable Phillips.
Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding was as clear as yours. But my worry, Chair, if you're saying they should move to one, to finalization of one compensation. Remember, the health is dealing with some other disease, they are compensating not on the whole package, they are compensating on certain diseases. So is that not going to be a problem when we say it should be one compensation scheme? Because the reason there is COIDA and the other one that I can't pronounce is specifically for those purposes. Others, they said they are dealing with pulmonary, cardiology, otherwise physical disabilities. Unless in that same scheme, they are going to classify. Thank you.
Let me explain again. It's not a question that we are saying they are doing it. Health is the Department of Health, is the Department of Labor, is the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy now. They have been doing it right through. They are doing it. It's not us that says there should be one single compensation system. They are saying based on what it is, the one man is there, one there is there, they want to make one. They, not us. They want to make one compensation system. So the only thing we can do and say is that they should be able to finalize that process. That's all. It's a process that they are on it. Whether how it's going to work, that's exactly what they should work on, is on how then it begins to identify areas. But we will take members. If you members remember, when we went to this because when we were explaining from when we met with her, it's just one by law or by procedure. We have undertaken that process before. we should have had a joint committee, standing committee on the three, so that they can brief us on the one compensation system. It's not that it's something that is starting. I'm sure it's two or 3 years, ne? It's almost more than 3 years, by the way. That is why we say the only thing we can say is that it has to be fine. Otherwise, even if we say they must negotiate, it might happen we'll finish even the sixth parliament when they are still negotiating one single compensation system. The more they finalize that process, the more it may answer even the questions that you are talking about. How are you going to do it then? At this stage, I can tell you probably even next year you will get the similar thing. Mineral Council will come. If you go to ask Dr. Katinsan, who is that? Katinsanami, but the person who is running the project is Dr. Chad. So all what I'm saying is here, it was raised, in my view, that all what we say, they must move towards finalization of that process. That's all. Honorable Phillips.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just wondering if, to avoid confusion of other people who also read the reports, that we shouldn't actually define compensation and define it as disability compensation rather than like your annual salary compensation. Just so that we don't have other people who are also confused about what kind of compensation we're actually speaking about.
We can work on that. I don't think it's fair. By the way, it's for occupational injuries. Occupational degrees. Okay. Done, eh? Any other matter, honorable members, on the recommendation?
Chair.
Honorable Mayor.
Chair, it's the second last bullet point on page 24, where it says existing tripartite structure should be activated to devise a long-term plan that can systemically deal with the issue of illegal mining, as well as improved health and safety outcomes for employees in the industry. First of all, I think that there are two separate issues that are being dealt with there. The one is improved health and safety issues, and the second is illegal mining. And I think that what we should be pushing for is for DMRE to present a long-term plan that looks to mainstream and legalize illegal mining.
First, I agree with you. It's two separate issues.
So what I'm proposing is that DMRE must come back to us and say, here's our plan on how we're going to deal with illegal mining. And as part of our recommendation, I would propose that it should be, how do we bring those people into the legal mining framework and mainstream it? How do we legalize it? Because clearly what's happening now is not working. You know, enforcement is I get that what they're doing is illegal, but enforcement is failing. So how can we bring them onto a legal platform where they're paying taxes, where they are contributing to society, where they're operating within the bounds of the law, etc. And that, I think, would be a concrete and positive step to address some of the challenges of illegal mining.
I don't know. Can we first agree to separate that the tripartite will make it to speak on that the tripartite structures should be activated. But I thought they are there to be activated. In order to improve health and safety outcomes for the employees in the industry. We separate these two. The reason I didn't want, I know, I thought we can put the legal and mining on the other, because we're talking about what was said to us. So we recommend what was said to us, the revival. I thought that one would come when we deal with the report, then now that will come from the entity. But I don't have a problem to say we can put then we can put a second bullet if that is the case. this is my little bit of business, né? That I avoid the situation where I become part of what people would have asked. Because when they raise, they will say we're the ones who are raising. So if the department is presenting, it should come to us because we're the ones who are first. So I would have, that's why I said I would have preferred when probably we deal with mine health and safety and what the department had presented us to then make that proposal to say the department must develop a comprehensive strategy to deal with illegal mining, that it will be presented to the committee. Now that becomes different because it's us who are now talking on what we would have observed and had directly. Like when we go to the entities, if we say we want this, we are talking from a point of authority of what we want. But I think we can put it, shouldn't we just say, department consider developing a comprehensive strategy on dealing with illegal mining. Then when we come, we deal with it. We will then deal with it in a manner that now talks to the committee. Is that agreed? Okay. If that is the case, so that bullet, the last bullet, it just helps to put a reverse gear to be where it is supposed to be. It sounds like a follow-up from the one, in the manner that it stands now, it sounds like a follow-up to the one that is existing. So we'll just put where it says the MR should embark on a study, what one. Okay, do we have three honorable members? Any more over? Honorable
Chair, I move for the adoption of the report as amended.
Any second, Honorable Malinga?
Thank you, Chair. I second the move of the adoption of the report with all the amendments.
Any objection?
Chairperson, the Democratic Alliance objects.
Okay. Objection noted. Any abstention? Mabu Mchenja.
Chair, oh, okay. No, there's something that I wanted to say, but it's fine. I think, yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Okay, honorable members, we now go to
just clarity, because people don't clarify each other on procedure. We may do wrong things. I just want clarity, Chair, on the rationale or on what rules. What are the rules say about a report compiled as per the presentations from stakeholders and in the process of towards adopting the report, participation is from all parties in terms of correcting, rectifying, removing and inserting. And at the end of what you were correcting, all of you, there is an objection. Shouldn't there be some part of what you are objecting on the report, not as a whole, because you have been part of correcting it, unless there was something that you or one has asked for us to amend and we refused. In a certain portion. I just am looking for clarity there, Chair, so that we when we move forward, we do things right if they are wrong.
No, the issue is simple. The rules only allow an objection to the report, not something else. that's what I can say. The issue I was just trying to check from the secretary was, obviously say you only note, that's what the rules allow, only note the objection. Because I was checking at what point do you vote? So that we don't, I thought that's the point we're going to raise, to say, if there is an objection, is it a time where you wait until somebody says, no, we ask for a vote, or you then make that determination. But again, if you go for a vote, it actually means you will not carry the objection. So I thought what, when people say the objection, there's nothing in the rules, I've checked nothing in the rules that says, you must then, you can say, I object on this. It's more or less the same thing. You can all agree, you amend the minutes and everything. At the end of the meeting, people will say, no, I object on the minute. On the minute. So it's, that's how the rules are, unfortunately. One money.
There was a question asked what is the point of amending and checking the report if it's like that? And it's for understanding, Chair, because we've been toiling on this report, and you at the end there's this thing, though the rules do not say, I'm saying logic, and then I'm sure change superior logic. What is the point of us toiling on the report, whereas there will be an objection?
That to me cannot be answered here, unfortunately. That's what the rules say, allow. So I can say when we go to the rules committee or whatever, we can raise that issue, but where is the rules?
Can I help you?
So that's what the rules say. It's not us, it's not anybody else. The rules allow it to happen. Honorable, can we please not deal with something that is in the rules? Because it's not going to help. The rules allow it. Even if we're to challenge it in the House, you will not be able to deal with it because that's what the rules say. Honorable Volmarans. And then I'll come to Honorable Mashaule, Honorable Mile.
Chair, just a quick one. We're not spending what the rules dictate. For purposes of the running of the committee, the cohesion in the committee. If we have gone through submissions and we have dealt with submissions, we have a draft report, we rectify it and do everything. For purposes of this committee, at the end when we say we don't agree with it, without saying really I don't agree with things so and so, and then because at some stage is going to, we are going to go into plenary and still deal and differ on the same things that we should have agreed upon in the committee. And help me out on that one.
Let me help you out. You see, Honorable Mutenja did not object here. In the plenary, the EFF may come. Just be sorry to make an example about you. He may come and say, no, they object to the report. Mm-hmm. They don't support the report. They don't agree with it. Even when you would have adopted it here. So the rules, unfortunately, that's what I'm saying. The rules, it's more or less the same thing. You may be absent. Under normal circumstances, I agree. You should say, put an apology and state, where are you? But the rules don't need that. They just say, you look for, attend to apologies, somebody's not attending. There is nothing that compares to say, that person must state why he's not in the meeting. Not. That's what they say. Honorable Marshall.
Chair, in your quest to find answers to the questions who are posed, can you also look at the difference between a rejection and the right to reserve your... I'm not sure whether you are giving a right of reserve to adopt or what. Because it's understandable, Chair, we have adopted reports here
Rightly so, Honorable Mailand, there was a point where he said, note that the Democratic Alliance reserves the right, which gives him a leeway to say, when we go to the city, when he objects, we don't say, but he has been part of the report. He has been part of correcting the report and all of that. Why he comes here and object? That to me makes sense because he has reserved the right. But if you reject here to what you have been part of, let's look at the procedure there, Chair, so that next time you guide us on that.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would just like to point out that we are not a parliament that operates on consensus and unanimity. In other words, we don't have to all agree on everything. And so there are elements in this report that the Democratic Alliance does not support. Yes, we've had some discussion, we've had some amendments, and some of those amendments we've debated backwards and forwards, and some people have gotten their point of view accepted and other people have got their point of view accepted. The bottom line is that any political party, any member, has the right to object to the report and to raise that in plenary when they get there. So would Honourable Malinga allow me the courtesy of speaking without interrupting? Yes, you. Yes, you.
Can I raise an order, Chair? Can I raise an order?
Honourable Member.
Chair, can I raise an order?
Honourable Member, can we be in the meeting?
Can I raise an order, Chair?
What is the order?
The order, Chair, is that, you see, there is a point where, when we are speaking, whether it's an order that we have raised and all of that, Honourable Mellon will have a back and forth with you. We don't say anything. Honourable Malinga is not even speaking to Honourable Mellon. She's speaking to us, unfortunately. And she's not interrupting the speaker. Maybe drowning, but not interrupting the speaker, Chair. So I'm just saying, when we want to keep order, let Honourable Mailam as well exercise that point when we raise orders only.
Can you continue?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, as I was saying, so it's not about unanimity. We object to what is contained in the report as a whole, and we have that right in terms of the rules. It's not as though this is something new. It's a practice of this Parliament that has been in place since 1994, and we need to abide by the rules of Parliament. So, again, the Democratic Alliance objects. I don't think we should be debating that, and I don't think I have to explain myself as to why we object.
Honourable members, can I start here?
Point of order, Chair.
What's the order now? When there is no speaker?
No, Chair, remember, I'm part of this meeting. I mean, I'm part of this committee.
Yes.
But when I see this thing going up and down like this, it might even not necessarily take a certain... We don't need to bully each other here. You can't do that. So, the honorable member here, it looks like you want to bully us now here. Because what you say, it must go. If it doesn't... Then we can't work like that. You cannot be part of the committee. This is what I'm saying. Look, politically, I'm from ESF. I might differ with a lot of things here as ESF, but when we are here into this committee, by the way, we are here to try to get the recommendation. It's like we are here to try to get the reason why we are here. We are trying to fix what we think is not right or what the entities comes here and tell us that it's not right. We are fixing it. We are part of the fixing.
Honourable members, let me first deal with the first issue. The point I'm trying to say, so that you don't have too much time. Let me first take you to the home, because I support you. It's rule 166. Please. I'm not sure whether it's a committee we should be speaking. A committee must report to the assembly on a matter referred to the committee when the assembly is to decide the matter in terms of these rules, the joint rules, the resolution, if the committee has taken a decision on the matter, whether all or not the assembly is to decide the matter as contemplated, if the committee is unable to decide the matter referred to it for a report. Now, committee must report to the assembly on all decisions taken by it except those decisions concerning its internal business and its activities at least once per year. Report of a committee must be formally adopted by the committee, must be submitted to the assembly by the chairperson or another person of the committee designated by the committee, and may request that the chairperson or another member of the committee designated by the committee introduces or explains in the report in the assembly. Now, a committee may not submit, that is subsection 4, may not submit a minority report. May not submit. B, if a report is not unanimous report, it must specify in which respect this there was no consensus. And in addition to the views represented, representative of the majority in the committee, express any views of a minority in the committee. Now there are two aspects there. Is that there was no consensus. Remember what it says. It says you may not. It says if there is no consensus, two things you can do. If they have expressed the view that they don't agree with the report on 1, 2, and 3. But 2 below, it says in addition, the views of the majority in the committee express any views of the minority in the committee. It means the final determination that is taken here is the views of the majority. That is why I asked that question initially. That if you arrive at this point where there is an objection, are you not expected to go for a vote so that you make a determination of the majority? There is no reason then to mention at one point or somebody express one point where there is it's a decision of the majority that prevails. Honorable Mashale.
Chair, it may be subject to the interpretation of that rule, but to me, yes, ultimately, the report would have to be adopted because the majority is saying we adopt it. But in a case of rejection, where you don't agree, there should be aspects. That's point number one that you are, subsection 4, I'm not sure whether it's 8 there. It says there must be explanation on what aspect of the report that don't you agree with. And that's the point I made earlier, that we can't be sitting here, Chair, dealing with a report, you make additions, you make subtractions, you insert some of the things, you change. But at the end, you say wholeheartedly the report must be rejected, and you don't tell us which part you are rejecting. Mm-hmm. It can't be. That, those rules clarify us that there must be sections in the report where you say, I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with this, so that we understand. Notwithstanding that, ultimately, it will be adopted by the majority. That's what the rules are saying.
You want to come in?
If you want me to, I'm happy to explain why I objected.
No. Let me wait. I don't want you to come in. I'm asking because I see that you showing signs that you want to speak. I'm not going to be strict by the rules so that I don't stand up and say, I'm the one who said you must speak, you must come in. I'm saying, I'm asking, you want to come in.
Chair, in terms of the rules that you've just read out, I have to motivate why I am objecting.
You want to come in?
No.
I'm saying you want to speak.
No, you're chairing the meeting. You must tell me if you want me to motivate why I object. Okay, then I'll leave.
Great. Any member here will do just say and then say, no, can I clarify or can I speak? Is allowed. That's why I'm asking. I don't want to force a person to speak when that person is not prepared to speak. But we are dealing with the rules here. And the point that Honorable Mashaule is saying is correct. It says if a report is not a unanimous report, it must specify in which respect there was no consensus. It doesn't say they must explain, but surely you will not be able to explain in which areas there was no consensus if you did not get that information in the committee. That's the point. You can only make that rule. Then it says, in addition to the views, why is it? It must, in addition to the views representative of the majority in the committee, or it must add the views of the majority in the committee, express any views of a minority in the committee. Now, these are two things. There are no views. There is no explanation. Wait. That's why I was asking, is Honorable Mylan wanting to come and clarify in relation to the areas? I was not forcing. What I can do is to force it, to clarify all the areas which there is no consensus on. That makes him to make the objection. But I can't force him to say it if he doesn't want to say it. Where I have a difference, it's a challenge issue, saying, if you want me, Chair, I'm asking you, does he want to clarify now, as we've clarified what the rules say?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me put it like this. We object on the basis that this report gives undue weighting to one side of the inputs. It gives undue weighting to the unions and doesn't take into account as much of the inputs from the sector, so the industry stakeholders. And that's why we are objecting.
I'm not sure, so that, because it says, let me again explain. It says specify in which respect there was no consensus. Now, I can't take what you say, that this is an objection on anything that was raised by the union, because you say it takes more weight. Now, for instance, I want to be upfront so that, to say, if you look on this, so that we look at whether that statement is a statement of fact or is a statement of personal observation. Because my problem is they specify in which respect there was not consensus. Now, if we move and say it takes more weight from the union, and if we were to go through here, we may find that the majority of what is contained here is what was coming. I want to be upfront, it was coming because it depends also on the number of employers. It may depend on the number, because I don't think all the unions were in agreement or there was consensus on them. Now, I don't think when it says, because it says specify. Now, I would wish to know if you then go there and say, these are the areas that we didn't agree, there was no consensus because the weight was more on the union. Now, if we were to get, because I'm not sure that again whether if we say that weight will end up debating the weight or will end up debating what is the content. Let's make an example because I want to be upfront. If we go in there and find that just a simple one, it's not about one union. It's not about that union. We are accommodated, for instance, when we talk about the issue of Petro-SA and the robust gas in the oil and gas industry. So it's not about the union, it is also about what Sawokane has said. So we'll be accommodated there. But I want, if we go according to this, then there has to be something specific. If you can help me from a chair's point of view, I don't think that addresses that part, that rule.
She has given my rationale and I stand by it. Pardon?
I've given my rationale and I stand by it.
Honorable Malin, Honorable Bulagulu, Honorable Mashawi.
Ngiyilindana ngiyavumelana nomchange amhlanje. Ngoba ungaclaim ukusizwa isingisi ngoba uwebana kodwa ungasizwa kahle. Chairperson, the rules are clear. We don't want to start dividing ourselves here by voting. This is the report of the committee. And the rules are clear that when you object, you need to tell us which parts you are objecting on. And this was a stakeholder engagement where we brought everybody in. So I am really, that is why I was confused, Chair. That, you see, Melasia Guguba man lobbies. Or thinking that we have superiority. I think that is going to harm this committee.
Point of order, Chair.
That is...
Wait, what's the order?
Chair, the Honourable Malinga is again imputing improper motives. She is suggesting that we are lobbying for a particular aspect. She is suggesting that there is a sense of superiority. That's not the case. I just objected to the report and I gave my reasons for it. To impute that there is a motive to it is improper and unparliamentary, and I would ask that she withdraw.
Well, you see, the difference here is that you can, even if we're to entertain that, he is referring to us as a community, not to a person. Now, it is an assumption that he's talking to you. Or, is responding, is raising a debate and a discussion in the committee on how the committee should conduct itself or should manage itself. Yes, you might have spoken after you, but from where I sit as a chair, I cannot draw that reasonable assumption that is referring to you when he's saying, as a committee, when he says we shouldn't in the committee think that we've got superior whatever. Now, we know, even all of us, the presiding officers in the House, if there was no reference to a specific person, they can't make a ruling to say you are referring to Soros. Can you continue, Honorable Nalia?
Chairperson.
But can we focus on the issues that we are dealing with?
Chairperson, I think with all the amendments in the report and the corrections we did on the report, it's a true reflection of what happened. You see, I am failing to understand, but why do we even have to go to the rules? That is why I was asking you, which, why should we toil and at the end and do not agree? What is the point of correcting the report? Because we can just let the secretariat deal with the report and in a civil and if it's a parliament, and not have a bite on the report. What are we laboring on, Chair? We have a lot to deal with in this portfolio. That just each and every time reports, we have just the minor issues. Shouldn't those minor issues be ironed out in a committee, because this is the report of the committee and the rules are clear? Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. Agree with the Honourable that we're here, Chairperson, because of numbers.
this test the majority and minority, so that we can have the outcome of this discussion in terms of numbers. I understand that maybe not a lot, but let's test.
Thanks, Chair. You see, Honorable Mtenja mentioned this, and it's proven to be correct that, and this is why we're asking, Chair, that can you please consult the rules so that we know how we move on, because we'll be bullied every day here with something that does not exist in the rules. You came with the rules now, they are evident that what the Honorable Member initially said, he doesn't have to explain when he rejected. It's not correct. You need to specify in which respect there was no consensus, so that in the report, in addition to the views of the majority, we are able to express that minority view to say there was no unanimity because of this and that. Now, if you say you are not agreeing with certain aspects in the report, we are not going to include the minority view in terms of specification, which one has not been accommodated. But it does not say, Chair, we can't say the report has been adopted. Because here there is no objection that is specific. If the member is not going to be specific, we can't put anything there that says we did not agree and this is the minority view. And you are correct to say he's not saying anything, and therefore you can't say you don't know where to start. You see what I was saying, Chair? I'm still speaking here. He's saying some things. He's not even saying order or what. And we are capable of doing that, Chair. Is that we are respecting you, seated there. We can do what he's doing. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would then like to add some clarification from the part of the Democratic Alliance. On page 24, bullet point number 5, under observations. Okay, it says the logic of supporting concentrated solar power remains unclear, as it is still the most expensive form of electricity supply. We contest that observation. And that has been actually, our view of that is actually...
Last bullet.
Yeah, bullet point number 5. Okay. Yeah, no, from the top. Okay. That has been, our point has actually been backed up by a number of overseas countries where they have costed the concentrated solar supply. So that is one of the ones that we object to. On 16, and then bullet point number 4, the Mineral Council of South Africa and the DMRE should engage further on the disputed
point
aspect.
Point of order, Chair.
Wait,
No.
What's the order?
Chairperson, we went through the report. This objection never arrived yet. It only arises now because we want to know. This was here all this time. The member did not raise it. Now she goes and looks for something to say. No, Chair.
Help me, member. The rules that we read says you must specify. Be specific. You must be specific. Now, when we ask, I ask. For instance, this Honorable Fulis, let me be upfront, had not came with what he's doing now. Because I asked Honorable Mylam, do you want, now having read the rules that you must explain, where do you have an objection? He said, no, the Democratic Union. I've said it, and that's what I've said. And he said, do not have Honorable Phillips. I would have then made the ruling to say, given the fact that there is no projection of an overweight towards the union on the report, where we would then take it, then it actually means that objection they would not initiate according to what the rule is. Because they would have said it's off is the way. That's why I said, how do you make that determination? Then wait. It's us then who ask from that what would be that would reflect an area of disagreement. Let me tell you, maybe the issue is that whether this thing, that is another rule, whether this rule went into it, because we must clarify. Whether this rule says you must do before or after, that's another issue. This rule says if a report is not a unanimous report, it must specify in which respect there was not consensus. Now, the point might be there, Honorable Malik, but the truth of the matter is, says, if they say we don't agree, like they say, there is no consensus because of 1, 2, 3, even if it's after it's adopted, when you are looking for an adoption, the question is, does the rule object in you trying to deal with that issue and see whether you can't accommodate what they, I'm just making an example. For instance, if the objection, like you're saying here, which was not, I agree with you, it was never objected when we're dealing with the process. But if now it's being brought in now, and we say, what would have been, because you are seeking consensus, remember, you are seeking consensus, what would have been the proper formulation of that report? Because you are bringing it now for anew. But the truth is, we can't say we don't know what is specific that you say you want to raise specific. And when they start to say, no, we want to change, we don't agree with 1, 2, 3. The other option could be simple, that when we dealt with the corrections on the report, there was nothing wrong that was objected to until we came to the report. But you still have to express that view of what is it specifically that they did not agree on the report, even if it is after. It is up to you to say, unfortunately, that came in when you were already. But remember, even if you have done your corrections, as long as you have not adopted the report, it doesn't mean the report it is not subject to be re-looked at. Because we're not dealing with the adoption, and the people are making an objection on the adoption. Honorable Mashaba.
Chair, I think Honorable Malinga is correct. We dealt with the reports where every member expressed themselves on various issues. And among other issues that Honorable Malam may have expressed his different views, they are there. We can mention them. At no time this point that Honorable Phillips is raising was a bone of contention. It was not even discussed as whether it's incorrect or correct. We can only deal with the issue that they have not agreed with at the time we were discussing a report. If Honorable Malam can stand up now and say, I don't agree with the aspect of PetroSA, I'm giving an example. Yes, it was discussed and he raised this opinion. That's what we can point as an aspect that was not agreed to when we deal with the report. Because now we're dealing with a report and the procedure. After you have asked a question, Chair, is there a mover? We moved for the adoption. Is there a seconder? Yes. Of what we were discussing. And is there an objection? Yes. Of what we were discussing. Not something that we were not discussing.
You are dealing with the adoption of the report. Have I explained? We are dealing with the adoption of the report. There is an objection, and I hate sometimes but we have to say so. There is an objection from the DA. Let me be upfront. and there is a mover, let me again say it from the ANC, and second, the objection of the DA is second. When we deal with the issue, the question then arises, what is it that is being objected to? We initially engage and say, according to the rules, you don't have to carry the minority support. And therefore, you may not need to get the basis of the objection, because it is not going to be contained as a minority report. Linked to that, we then have a discussion, we go back and say, two things, you carry the majority view. Now, when you look, it says, let's first ask the question, is there unanimity? Because 4A, 4.1664B says if a report is not a unanimous report, that's why I said it's not explaining at what time, it's not a unanimous report. So it means you must first check whether is there unanimity on the report. It then says it must specify in which respects there was no consensus. Now when Honorable Mellon, I asked that thing, said that you want to come in. He then came in and said the report, the reason. Now, I said it's too general. He said the reason there is objecting to the report is that the report is too skewed, if I were to use the word, is too heavy weighted towards the union. I said, but here it says specific, which respect there was no specify. Now specify means this and this, we did not agree. I don't agree. Now, the point I don't want us now to deliver, because I'm not sure whether what time we will finish, when we've got a lot of minutes, but it's fine. I'm prepared to be patient enough. The point here now is that, can you, on these rules, deny someone to specify? Well, it says you must specify. Can you deny someone to specify which areas there is no consensus on? How you handle the issue of no consensus, those issues that is raising there is no consensus on? Because tomorrow the person says, no, you asked us to explain to put the areas where they make us. Then there are two things. It's either we don't know, we might be accused that we did not want them to. When they wanted to explain, we blocked them. When they said, we told you what we say, we wanted them to explain. So please help me. Do we want them to explain? Because I'm saying on the rules, let's be honest, on the rules, nothing says at what point they should. Nothing says, what do you do in the event they identify those issues where there is no consensus? It doesn't. I assume it gives the committee latitude. There could only be two options there. Is that fine? We care what you say. If you say those are the issues, it's fine. The other one could say, let's attend to those issues that you say there's no consensus on. The point I thought for me was going to assist is what Honorable, that's why I was sitting, not on what Donald. The point is what Honorable Mashauna was saying, that I don't know, again, the rule here is too broad. Unfortunately, we are being haunted by our own rules of parliament. The point here doesn't say, let's assume, again, with due respect, Honorable Myla, she turned up and say, on the same thing, exactly like you say, on the same thing, that we would have worked with him, and he, please, we have worked with him. He may come back and then come back here and say, I still don't agree with, let's say, point bullet so and so. This rule doesn't say, unfortunately, it doesn't say, as you read it, it doesn't say if you have. So it means the way it's so broad, it exactly says what frustrates you, Honorable Matlaudi. I can make a recommendation. That's what this way the rules are. I can make a recommendation, but when it goes to, as opposed to adopt, I object, and when I want to specify the respect where there's no consensus, I can still say the same thing I did not agree. I recommend it. It doesn't kill. That's why I said the biggest problem is that it does not make a person to own the decision, if I to put it crudely, or the proposal. Can propose something and still come back and say, when it comes to the specification, and say, I don't agree with it. There's nothing you can do with it. So please help me then, so that we know. I don't want some people to say we deny people to raise what they are objecting on, simply because they will argue and say, the rules do not say only those that you would have raised. The way that they are, they are. Maybe it's a test of the parliamentary rules now. Honorable Phillips, were you done? Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. No, I wasn't actually done. The reason why I'm raising it is an observation that was made and it is in the report. But it is a fundamental observation that was made that the Democratic Alliance does not agree with. So that is why I'm raising it. There is another fundamental, and it's not an observation, this one is a recommendation, and it would be 16, and the bullet point would be number 4. And there it says that the Mineral Council of South Africa and the DMRE should engage further on the disputed aspect of the Mining Charter 3. Now, as the Democratic Alliance, we don't subscribe to the Mining Charter 3 at all. So it's a recommendation by the committee that it should happen. But if we don't subscribe to Mining Charter 3, then we can't agree with that. So those are my two objections. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair, with all due respect, let me start where it was. There was an order raised by Honorable Malinga on Honorable Phillips, and you gave a ruling. And you wanted to proceed, but you went back to Honorable Phillips. That's what I understood. The second point that she's referring to, Chair, is the point you corrected yourself and asked everybody, what do you say with this point? We said we accept. And we have accepted that. Now, for the sake of progress, Chair, I want to propose something.
Okay.
That for the sake of progress, let's allow the Democratic Alliance to outline their objections as far as the report is concerned. But in the future, when we deal with report, we deal with issues, we flag them out, we discuss them, and where we have disagreement, you bring them back towards the adoption and say, I have raised these issues, you have not corrected them. So that we are specific and comply with the rules to say, we have specifically said as the Democratic Alliance, we don't agree with that. But so that we avoid a situation where issues that were not discussed also form part of specific issues that you are raising an objection on. It doesn't have progress. That's the way forward. I am proposing that. Let's allow it, note it, but moving forward when we go and deal with other reports. What you object to there, you must note if it has been corrected to the best of your satisfaction. If not, when you object, you then specify.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. You see, today I don't want to speak too much because I'm sick. I'm not all right today. That's why. But be may what it may be, Chairperson, my point that I wanted to raise here is that we are going around in second year for a very simple thing. Because you are sitting in a committee First of all, let me start by saying we are being sent by the people. When they elected us, they sent us to come and represent them here. Now we are representing the people. We are sitting in the committee. We are doing recommendations together, all of us. We are recommending that, according to us, this committee, we want this, and our recommendation should be this and this and this. With what those recommendations, are they exactly the one that will benefit the very people who sent us to come here? I cannot read all this, but there are many points here which will make it funny if you object something like this. But you were there, you were part of it, and furthermore, this is a recommendation which you also made an input. Honorable Malem today made a very good input when he said, which I agree with him, when he said, e.g., for example, the illegal mining, something must be done there. Those people must either be trained properly so they can work and pay tax as well, which I agree, because arresting them, it's only making these things worse. But in other words, he comes, after saying that, he then comes back to object again. So in other words, he's objecting what he just said. But this is a report for all of us as a committee. This recommendation is where we raise hands and recommend and add where we want to add. But then you can't do that, and then at the end of the program, then you say, I reject, I object. In other words, you are objecting also what you said they must fix. Because this is a committee, a report from our committee. You are owning this, all of us here, as members, we are owning this committee. That is why it's where we are belonging. Now, we recommend, we fix sentences, we do everything, then later on, we come back and say, we object. So we are just playing with here, going around in second reading. And then we are being given a chance by the rule to say, specify exactly where you say, or your reason why you say you don't. Look, Chair, some of us, maybe we are sitting for the first time in such things like committees and everything. But it does not make a logic at all. If you are sitting in a committee and amongst yourself discussing what you want the entities to do, and then you furthermore put a recommendation on those things, and then later you say you are rejecting. It does not make sense. It does not make sense at all. Because that shows that you are just rejecting, even if that thing is right, it was recommended by you, but you are just grandstanding there. That is why you just want to object. It can't be correct, Chairperson. Like I say, we disagree in many other things. For example, I'll speak about when we are in the plenary, that side. We disagree in many, many other things. Many things that we disagree on. But this is a committee, it's not a plenary. This is our recommendation. We are given a chance, all of us, to raise hand and raise our recommendations. Then we can't raise them. When it's time to adopt, then we say, no, we object. Why were you wasting time and recommending those things? Thank you, Chair. I'm sick today, Chair. I don't want to speak too much. I'm sick.
Chairperson, a couple of points. First of all, there was a comment about bullying. I feel that we are being bullied into accepting this report. That's what's happening here right now. That we are being bullied to accept the report. Now, I have a right, in terms of the rules, to object. I have to specify my objection. I did so. I said I am objecting because I feel that this report is unduly weighted towards the input of the unions. And if you go through the recommendations, and if you go through the findings, they are overwhelmingly worker-based rather than industry-based. Our job is to grow the industry and so grow jobs. We're not doing that here. But be that as it may, I believe I have specified there's no requirement in the rules as to the level of detail that I have to provide in my specification. I have specified why I am objecting. I also want to address Honourable Ntumjani's last point, which goes to that we have inputs throughout the report. Yes, we do. But during the debate on the report that we've had in this committee, it gives us an opportunity to apply our minds as to whether the report as a whole is something we can support or not. So we can amend specific portions of it, and at the end of it, we look at it and we go, it still doesn't actually achieve what we set out to do. And so we object. But you know what, Chair? If it's going to make this committee feel better, if it's going to make the bullies on this committee feel better,
Chair,
then
Chair,
I didn't name any names, Chair. I didn't name any names.
Point of order, Chair. This member of parliament says this committee, members of the committee, as much as he has not made mentioned the name, I'm a member of this committee. I can't be related as a bully.
Wait. Chair, I said the bullies on this committee. I didn't say all of them were bullies, but anyway.
Chair, you see, he's responding again. You have not made a ruling on my order.
Can you wait?
And I've mentioned this, that we are equal to what
are being interrupted here.
I've raised an order, Chair.
I am entertaining the order. You know what I remember? Now, I will attend to your order. Just before you finish it,
okay.
Well, I think I have to deal with this thing. I'm trying to be very patient with you. All of you, by the way. Because we end up, you know, level of maturity means there is work in front of you. It is more important than the next person. You first dispense with that, you then deal with your personality. We can't sit here and be a competition of members who want to be declared honorable. But mostly the rulings have got nothing to do with the work of the day. But I will go and address that issue immediately. Can you come in, Honorable Madam, so that I finish this thing that we're dealing with?
Chair, in order to accommodate the problems that people have, I will withdraw what I said about bullies on the committee. I will, however, let me leave it at that. With regard to my objection, the DA's objection, I will withdraw that too. I will withdraw our objection to this report, even though I've specified why, and I will state that we reserve our rights. And that should end this debate.
Thank you. No, the debate can end. Honourable members, let's first deal with this thing. You know, at times we could have long finished this meeting. We may just be upfront. The first thing we must concede, and this is why I've been trying to drum to members, the first thing we must concede is that, and that is the only time leadership must prevail. The uncertainty of the rules is the one that is first. Leave whether we want to play politics or not, the rules allow us to do so. And this is what I ask all of you, honorable members. There is what is called is a desired situation and a reality. The reality, if we go back to this rule, is that this rule, the way it is, it does not deal, and it goes back to the first thing I said. I fear the day there will be a chairperson in this house who will say, from the ANC point of view, we not agree with that item. The next thing that person will be told, no, you are supposed to be, you'll be objective, not to be party politics. If we are to deal with issues of this committee with success, let's be committee members. Get out of the cocoons of our political parties when we're in committee. It's my request. Let's deal with the issues. Try to assist the committee about solutions. It can't be if you are the chair. By the way, the best chair is a chair who has got the best team. A team that brings solutions. Not a team that comes in to test my views against this one, which one is going to be best. That chairperson will demonstrate all the kinds of problems, because in any decision or ruling that chairperson is making, it will be viewed to be skewed towards another person.
I said when I was given this responsibility to members, I said it is not because of my wisdom. It is the type of members that I'm given in the committee. The type of members who want, can we take pride, who want to say, if you go to this committee, this is one of the best committees that will deliver results. This is the committee that, even in disagreement, they will disagree on simple things and simple logic. They will disagree on the basis of what we think can no longer be attended to. But some of the things, let's be honest, honorable member, it's not this thing that we can get, we can't attend to them and find a solution. It's not, I can say it now. So, for me, where I sit, if I was sitting that side, that's why I said I wish one day I can sit that side. Just give one member to come and say, unfortunately, that again the regrettable part of the rules, that the rules don't allow that if you got the chair, you can say, I'm tired, let me give so-and-so to chair the meeting. Those rules, they are like what we know traditionally, that there is a time where you feel, even if you've got a headache, you must leave the meeting so that somebody can be appointed. Just to show, to say, when we come to a meeting, our intention is to give solutions. Our intention is to make sure that what is in front of us, it's so paramount, it's so important, to an extent that it transcends our political party. In fact, we should be, with the small number that we are, we should set a benchmark, a standard, that from where we are, we can lead and even show our leaders when we go to the house how to prioritize the work that was given to us. We can't sit dealing with one report from 10 o'clock up until almost 1 o'clock because we just can't agree. We can't deal with issues in a committee if we are prepared to assist and protect one another. I appeal to all of you honorable members. Let me tell you the simplest thing, even if we're in trouble, even if we're in trouble, the simplest exercise I will tell you I was going to do, if, I don't know, but let me provoke it because we are not going to change now, it's withdrawn. Simplest exercise would have been, yes, we see, let me say this thing, honorable members, with all due respect, honorable myself. The truth of the matter is that these rules don't allow the question is, are they, and how do you enforce them? These rules, unfortunately, the way it is now, that's why I said, you can only, this is the point I said, you can only explain it as to why you don't agree with those specified areas. For instance, sure, there's a majority that agrees with the report. We'll have a right to state below that the point that honorable Phillips, for instance, was raised, it was corrected, and the matter here is not about mining Charter 3. It is about parties who are already dealing with mining Charter 3. The Minerals Council of South Africa is part of that engagement. It's not us. That's why I said we must draw the difference. It is not us who say we support mining Charter. They are dealing with mining Charter 3. We say what they are dealing with, and we can't say it doesn't have a name. What they are dealing with, they must quickly find an amicable solution. That's the point I'm trying to say, for instance, an example. But more than that, we said, take out the Minerals Council, start with the Department of Mineral Resources to engage with all other stakeholders, in particular, the Minerals Council of South Africa, to find an amicable solution on mining Charter 3. That's what is there. We can't say the Minerals Council of South Africa are the ones who raised the issue about the dispute with the department. So it's not us. We say find a solution then on what you are dealing with. That is all. It's not that we agree with mining Charter 3. That's my question. We can only arise when the department presents to us mining Charter 3. It is not about, that's why I said we must draw that distinction. But all of them say, honorable members, no, we can't. We can't. The next thing that is going to happen, when from a chair I become heavy-handed, I will end up with three people here. Three or two. Because the truth of the matter is that sometimes, honorable members, let's be honest, the level that you conduct yourselves leaves much to be desired. The truth is you can whisper to someone. We can't, if I speak to you when somebody is speaking, why do you not want to accept when it is done to you? When it becomes bad? If I don't raise and wait for me in my head to be recognized, why should I find it difficult when it's done by somebody else? Please, I beg of you, I'm not chairing, I refuse to chair meetings like there in the house. I've never been in a preschool. You see? I didn't do any childhood development course. I'm dealing with people who know why they are here. I've not seen under 18s in Parliament. Maybe they're still coming. Can we rise to that level? Can we rise? When we come here, can we come to have solutions? Can we come to say, let me an example. Chair, on this point, please understand that we've got a particular different aspect on it. And our view is that let the matter be attended. No member comes to a committee without an idea. And I always say, when you ask a question, definitely you've got an answer behind you. Don't test what is going to be the answer from another person. State what you think has to be done. I appeal of you. Secondly, lastly, in order for us to comply with this matter, there is no other way. There is no other way. Even if it's after the report, let me say it now with all due respect, so that I don't like to go on the offer. The problem is that we have seen, I can tell you now, we have seen reports, we have seen legislation end up even blocked after the president would have signed them into law. That's on the technicalities, on the failure to follow the rules of parliament. People don't do anything. They just say, no. The rules of parliament says this. Now, whether you agree or you did, the fact of the matter is that the rules of parliament says this. The only thing you can come over this rule as it stands now is that whether it was raised or not raised when you are dealing with amendments or corrections, you need to state the majority view even in response to what has been specified. So if this rule, for instance, that's why I was making that example, if it's about the issue with regard, then it must be stated that the actual statement is this one and there was agreement. It should state that, unfortunately, the matter that was an objection on in relation to the rules in terms of section 1664B, Roman figure 1. Unfortunately, that matter was raised when only at the time of the adoption of the report. We carry the report as it is, so that it reflects the true activities that happened in the committee. We carry it and say, unfortunately, this matter was never raised when we were dealing with the amendment and corrections and other additions. It only came when we were dealing with the report, and therefore, it was no longer relevant for the committee to deal with it. And we leave it at that. So, what it does, we submit our report with all those things. Because there is no way, I don't think when the rule speaks here, it says the committee cannot state its position in response to that specific session. But as far as I look at it, until all these things that you are raising, we can now start to factor them in on the amendments, on the rules. They will not apply if they don't reflect on the rules of the committee. They will not, I'll be honest. In fact, even that rule, that's why I read from the top. I didn't want to say it can be a dispute one day. The first, is it three, ne? No, not three. Let me show you. When it says may not,
because those people who thought they know English look like they don't know it.
You see, 4A, 4A, let me show you, tell you 4A, what does it say? 4A says a committee may not submit a minority report. It says may. It doesn't say cannot. It says may. Now, how do you resolve may? How do you arrive at not submitting or not? So I'm saying sometimes the problem that I look at is that these rules must be clear when it comes to committee, especially on reports. It must be clear. And I think that's one issue that one is prepared to take on. Having said, again, here, if we're to follow this thing, we take what the Honorable Maila McCain has told us, that we'll take it as his word, that besides the withdrawal, we've got no reason to question. But what that notion that, what is it, reserve or comment means abstention, it's okay. We'll take it. Yes. Honorable members, now Ninkagile, today.
I don't know how you saw one of the time in the chair.
Wait. Nani Nam Lande, the
9 years.
Honorable members. We are left with 20 minutes towards closure. We are still left with the report on the oversight, 20 to 30 August. You 26, no, I thought it's 26. 20 to 30 August. Then it goes up to page 31. You are the minutes of the report. It starts, you will see page 2, but it's the report on 26 to 30 August. It goes from, I think, page 31, your page 1 to page 31 on my document. That's the report that is still running. Then you've got a barrage of minutes. 11, to say the least, ne? And we might be adding others if we don't continue to take to the 12 or so. Now, they go up until the 2 minutes, up until from the 20th of August, up until the 23rd of October. Now, I need your guidance whether you want us to try and attempt or we give you time, we then have to adjust on our program to come back and finalize these reports and the minutes. As long as you give me that I can tell you with the pace that you are going, only a Wednesday is fit for you. Because the Tuesday, we may have then, because the application now here says up until 1 o'clock. We may have to at least give up until 2. So the first time I've got such a long for a few papers. You want to make a suggestion, Honorable Madam?
Chair, I don't know how the other committee members feel, but as far as the report is concerned, I have very little to add to it. There are two grammatical errors that I want to correct, and then I have a concern in the recommendations that something has been left out. But apart from that, I have nothing major.
Tenzan, we are now more in a cool mode. Please, let's not go back. Can we keep the spirit? Any, what is the view of others? The proposal, Honorable Milan says, is only about two areas of correction and then one area of concern on the recommendation. Honorable Vulnerant, Honorable Matale, Honorable Vulnerant.
Your Chair, I actually raised before Honorable William, and given the previous discussions that were taking place, I did not anticipate that we would do the same as what we've done in the previous conversation and recommend that we deal with this report.
Honorable Masan.
Chair, my difficulty with this report is that I had electronically made or highlighted the things that I found to be problematic on this question. A few minutes before we came here, we received corrected or amended version. So I do not know whether we are the risk of continuing is not huge, or we should schedule it for some other day. I don't know, but we had made corrections on the first draft that was sent. But here, I have something different. That has got recommendations, and I raised it before the meeting started.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I would just like to make one correction on the last page under maintenance.
We still want to know whether we continue. I don't want to push you, Honorable Yashau. The only thing that has happened is all the recommendations, they remain the same, as far as we know, and the content. The only time is when we came to the energy aspect, where we then made these observations according to each entity or each group of entities. But they're still the same, is that if you look, and I can also take full responsibility because that's what I agreed to myself. If you look in the initial one that you had, it was, we used to call it a bag of mixed masala. We will talk energy, the next one we'll be talking about mineral resources related issues, and even on the groups, it was talking to this and then talk to that. So we then agreed that no, let's. Especially the problem is that if you look on the energy aspect, it was one of the most complex sides that you could deal with. Hence, we said observations. But honorable members, being this generous chest person that I am, I want to suggest this. Go back now. I'm giving you. Study properly. Write it on the side. Just take your notes. Write it on the side. And then we will come back and deal with all the reports and the minutes. If we happen to take 10 minutes to finish this report, I don't want to commit, but I will do something for you. I don't know, but that day, in a celebratory way, you would have done very well. Then we will go to the minutes and deal with all the minutes on the very same day. Can you agree on that? I don't want us to take the risk and only to find out when you are inside. In the meantime, I will also be checking how to manage this rule 166 4B Roman figure 1. I will try and find a way. I can't trust Honorable Malin. I can only trust her with the English part. Now I need a more procedure suggestion that I will get from. In fact, I'm going to do it today. Someone will have to help me. I'll check who is in the Rules Committee and then so forth. But I also ask you, Honorable Members, if we have to deal with that rule, there is some rule, why does it say, there is a rule here that says you don't have to report to, what do you call it, don't have to report to the National Assembly on the committee's internal business. I want us to go back and think about this and see whether we can develop or treat this processing, not the rule stands, the processing of the rule, whether we can find our own internal, treat it as internal committee business. That thing is simple, what does it mean? In other terms, it means we can sit here, internal committee business, it means when I say intention and others, it's 3 minutes, that's internal arrangements. That, there's no rule that says how you to run the meeting. So running, how we run the meeting when it comes to decision making and seeking consensus, let's go back and find an applicable way that can make us to implement this rule with little contradiction among us. I'm just requesting members, but I will still go and check how to process. It might happen that even it might be my failure to interpret what this rule says, I will go and seek, I won't bring in a legal advice here, I will seek people who preside and who understand the rules of Parliament when it comes to this. Do we agree then we allow you time? Honorable Mashaudi?
No, Chair, I want to agree with you that give us some time, because what I said, Chair, irrespective of how you correct me, I still say it stands, because just to give you an example, on the one that I have, when we talk about visit to the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, including presentation by the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, on the one on the electronic version, it says, she indicated, there's one sentence that says, she indicated, referring to the Deputy Minister, she indicated that the former Minister of Energy, Mr. Jeff Hardy. Then this one says, she indicated that the former Minister of Energy, meaning it's corrected. So we may have a version that was corrected and it's corrected. So there's no need to correct. So give us some time to deal with it.
And the second, and this Honorable Phillips?
I'll take him.
Okay. I told you I'm a general shepherd. The issues you are raising, if it was another chapter, we would have said, we'll correct them here. Now, Honorable Members, please, let's come back. Let's do the work of Parliament. Our people are looking up to us. I might have shouted at you, you are not my kin, you are my colleague. But let's go back. Let's just do a reflection of ourselves. South Africa is looking for us. There is a lot that is expected of us. Now, I will still emphasize this point. Let's deal with the issues in front of us. Treat each other with maximum respect. And understand that we didn't choose, I've said this thing before, we didn't choose to come to Parliament. It is our people who chose our organization to come and represent them in Parliament. It is members of our respective organization who supported our names to be on the list of people who come to Parliament. It is our leaders who identified us to come and sit in the committees, including this one. Let them do what is expected of us. Let's make it a point that whatever that we have, it is not more than. We have always made and say, we took oath, we will choose South Africa first. Let's do it that even here. If we say we stick by the Constitution, let's serve the people of South Africa beyond what is our own organization. I'm not saying there is one organization or any organization that is relevant, but the mere fact that we find each other here, it means we have to accept that we are here and you are colleagues, not we're supposed to work for the country. On that note, good luck on your midterm budget, and hopefully you will get some adjustments. Otherwise, the road is too bumpy ahead. Thank you very much.
Yeah.